कृष्ण 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 है। कृष्ण 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 राक्षमां। कृष्ण 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 पाहि माहम्। राम राघव राम राघव राम राघव राक्षमाहम्। कृष्ण केशव कृष्ण केशव कृष्ण केशव पाहि माहम्। हरे कृष्ण। सो इट्स वेरी एक्सटेटिक टू हैव अपॉर्चुनिटी टू रीड फ्रॉम कृष्ण बुक leading to the Janmashtami celebration. I hope everyone is excited about it. Everyone is ecstatic. Yeah. Krishna consciousness is not static, it is ecstatic. If you're ecstatic, you become purified. If you're static, you become putrefied. And we will be reading from the second chapter, which is prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in a womb. I was really impressed yesterday by Bhrigupati Prabhu, how he controlled himself to such an extent that he actually said very little and finished the whole chapter. And because Archita Prabhu knows I have no qualification like that, so he actually gave me allowance not to finish the chapter today, and he also gave me his personal copy of Krishna book, so I'm double blessed this morning. So King Kamsa not only occupied the kingdoms of the Yadu, Bhoja and Andhaka dynasties and the kingdom of Shurasena, but he also made alliances with all the other demoniac kings as follows: the demon Pralamba, demon Baka, demon Chanura, demon Trinavarta, demon Agasura, demon Mushtika, demon Arishta, demon Dvivita, demon Putana, demon Keshi and demon Denuka. At the time, Jarasandha was the king of Magadha province, known at present as Bihar state. In India, people know that there are plenty of troublemakers in Bihar. So apparently that is going on for thousands of years. Thus, by his diplomatic policy, Kamsa consolidated the most powerful kingdom of his time under the protection of Jarasandha. He made further alliances with such kings as Banasura and Bhomasura until he was the strongest. Then he began to behave most inimically towards the Yadu dynasty into which Krishna was to take his birth. So it's quite interesting that Shukadeva Goswami is giving all the names of all these demons, and we might think, you know, what's so special about these demons, but these were really powerful personalities who were even harassing demigods. Even demigods were afraid of them. We can imagine how powerful they were. And of course it adds to Krishna's glory, killing them without any effort. So being harassed by Kamsa, the kings of the Yadubhoja and Adhaka dynasties began to take shelter in different states, such as the state of the Kurus, the state of the Panchalas, and the state known as Kekaya, Shalva, Vidarbha, Nishada, Videha, and Kosala. Kamsa broke the solidarity of the Yadu kingdom as well as the Bhoja and Andhaka. He made his position the most solid within the vast tract of land known at the time as Bharatvarsha. When Kamsa killed the six babies of Devaki and Vasudev, one after another, many friends and relatives of Kamsa approached him and requested him to discontinue these heinous activities, but all of them became worshippers of Kamsa. That's pretty interesting. They tried to preach to him, but he ended up getting them on his side. That's the power of demonic association. When Devaki became pregnant for the seventh time, a plenary expansion of Krishna known as Ananta appeared within her womb. Devaki was overwhelmed both with jubilation and lamentation. She was joyful, for she could understand that Lord Vishnu had taken shelter within her womb. But at the same time, she was sorry that as soon as a child would come out, Kamsa would kill him. At the time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, being compassionate upon the fearful condition of the Yadus due to atrocities committed by Kamsa, ordered the appearance of his Yogamaya, or his internal potency. Krishna is the Lord of the universe, but he is especially the Lord of the Yadu dynasty. So it's very interesting. Before Krishna is appearing, Ananta, Sheshe is appearing, Ananta Dev, rather. Baladev and Yogamaya, who is Subhadra. And Krishna is named here the Lord of the Universe, Jagannatha. So here we go. In one paragraph, Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra are glorified. They all come together, always together. This Yogamaya is the principal potency of the Personality of Godhead. In the Vedas, it is stated that the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has multipotencies, parasya shakti vividaiva shruyate. All the different potencies are acting externally and internally, and Yogamaya is the chief of all potencies. He ordered the appearance of Yogamaya in the land of Rajabhumi in Vrindavan, which is always decorated and full with beautiful cows. In Vrindavan, Rohini, one of the wives of Vasudev, was residing at the house of King Nanda and Queen Yashoda. Not only Rohini, but many others in the Yadu dynasty were scattered all over the country due to their fear of the atrocities of Kamsa. Some of them were even living in the caves of mountains. And so this is something Srila Prabhupada explains on the basis of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, preparing to the class. I read through the second chapter of the 10th canto as well. Because Srila Prabhupada gives much more elaborate explanations there. You know, Krishna book was just very short kind of narration without much of the details. But it is very interesting what he mentions there based on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation. That Kamsa was really afraid of, Kamsa was afraid of Krishna, but Devaki was afraid of Kamsa. Kamsa is fear personified. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, because the foundation of material existence is fear, and Kamsa is personified materialism. as 11th canto of Bhagavatam explains, Bhaya Dvitiya Binivesutasya. This is how the entire material existence starts, with fear, which is caused by the duality, and it creates conditioning. And so fear is a really negative quality, as we understand that the first divine quality is Abhaya, Sattva Samshudhir Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti, as it is described in the 16th, beginning of 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And so we are very fortunate to have Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada as our founder, fearless, because of taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. So fearlessness is the first divine quality. And here we see the devotees are immersed in fear of Kamsa. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that fear can actually help one to advance in Krishna consciousness. But there should be the right type of fear. Fear of materialism. Fear of Kamsa. And what Kamsa is doing, he is killing the sons of Devaki one after another. And who are the sons of Devaki? They are Shatgarbhas, and they are the sons of Marichi. And Marichi is the personification of mind. And the first and foremost thing in Krishna consciousness, we need to purify our minds, right? And there are six main anarthas, undesirable qualities taking shelter of the mind or coming from the mind, in the same way as six sons of Devaki, they came from Marichi. And these are Kama, Krodha, Moha, Lobha, Mada, Matsarya, which are lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and pride, which is also sometimes translated as madness. It's interesting. Mada. One word indicates both things. Pride and madness. And so, Kamsa is killing all this. And then after all of these anarthas are killed by fear, then Baladev comes forward and Yogamaya appears before the appearance of the Supreme Lord. And so we can understand that this is how the process of Krishna consciousness works. That fear can be very, very useful. And it's very interesting how in what kind of fear we should have. Fear of material existence, what does it mean? In the fifth canto, Maharaj Rahugana, you know, after coming across Jadabharata, whom he failed to recognize as great saintly personality, and so he treated him in a very offensive way. First of all, he was made to carry the palanquin, and then Maharaj Rahugana also got on his case for not doing the job properly, etc. But after Jadabharata started speaking, Maharaj Rahugana realized this is great saintly personality. And what he did, he actually jumped down from his palanquin and he offered full dandavat in front of Jadabharata and apologized to him. And this is one thing he said, very impressive word. He said, I'm a great king. I have no fear of anyone. I have no fear of thunderbolt. I have no fear of fire. I have no fear of even demigods, like the stringent trident of Lord Shiva, etc., etc. I'm not afraid of sun or, you know, anything. But there is one fear I really have, and that is the fear to commit offense towards Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Because I know once I commit that offense, you know, I will lose my position, everything. So that's a very healthy fear, to commit offense towards Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And, you know, because every single bit of our great fortune we have now is because of the blessings of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And so, you know, as they say, don't bite the feeding hand. And once we do that, that's it. Once we start offending Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, we're going to lose all our great fortune. And so, this is the fear of material existence. And so, yeah, once we lose that fortune, we go back to material consciousness and go back to the material world. And unfortunately, it's not a theory. It's tested and tried by some unfortunate devotees, and they got the results, unfortunate results of those experiments. And so that's why, yeah, Lord Chaitanya was highlighting always the third verse of Shikshastakam prayers, right? Trinadapi sunichana tarorapi sahishnuna manina mananina kirtanya sadahari. One should be always more humble than the blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, always respecting everyone and never expecting any respect. And only in such a state of mind one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. And unfortunately, we can see opposite examples sometimes, right? I was thinking that some devotees who want to, you know, become really well known without doing much of the service, they follow this formula, you know, which is opposite to Trinadapi Sunichana. Promote yourself as really important and criticize and blaspheme everyone, especially leaders, and go against all the injunctions, and then they end up in the company of like-minded people, and they become, you know, like heroes in their own circle, as those who fearlessly challenging all the authorities. But, you know, it's not lasting for long. And normally, it's something which, you know, the way which is followed by those who actually fail to be, to properly follow the Krishna conscious practices. And then they become bitter because they cannot follow properly, and they want to retaliate and they want to criticize everybody else. But, you know, in this way they completely ruin their Krishna consciousness. So, and by seeing those examples, we should, you know, be really afraid of following that path of total self-destruction. So that fear is very, very useful fear. And an interesting question was asked, because as we were mentioning that Krishna consciousness means to have very broad consciousness based on the famous statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, akama sarva kamava moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogina yajeta purusham param, that whether one has no material desires or full of material desires or desiring liberation, if one is, well, Prabhupada translates, one has broader intelligence, or as we say, if one is broad-minded, right, udaradhi, then Tibrena Bhakti Yogina, one can engage himself or oneself in very focused practice of Bhakti Yoga and Yajata Purusham Param, achieve topmost perfection. So broad-mindedness or broad intelligence, that's really synonymous of Krishna, being Krishna conscious. And so that's why it's very important to, you know, bringing all this to contemporary situation, to see what's happening on the planet right now. Because it's a little confusing that one devotee was asking, you know, is the world advancing spiritually or is the world degrading? Because, you know, it's kind of a chintya beda beda tattva, right? We are in Kali Yuga, but it's also 533 years since the advent of Lord Chaitanya, so since the beginning of the Golden Age, right? So we're kind of in the Kali Yuga, but not in the Kali Yuga. So are we advancing or degrading as the world, as the planet? Actually, it's neither and both. Because Srila Prabhupada said, once Krishna consciousness is applied to human society, it creates the similar effect to the lemon juice applied to the boiling milk. The milk is divided into whey and curd. So the human society, once Krishna consciousness is applied to it, divides into demonic and divine. And we can see that so clearly. I mean, before Srila Prabhupada came, the Western society was pretty homogeneous. Everyone was kind of demoniac, but they put a good facade, right? They played the role of, you know, gentleman or something. Played the role of sober. But you can see what's happening now, that the kind of interest towards spirituality, you know, even chanting Hare Krishna mantras became so popular, and yoga and vegetarian lifestyle, veganism, and all kinds of things, and unity of faiths, all these things became so prominent in the past 50 years. At the same time, we see rapid degradation of the society, and we don't even want to mention those examples, what people do to degrade themselves, because we know it too well. And so we can see that society is neither advancing nor degrading, it's polarizing more and more. The divine, they go up, and demonic, they go down. And so that actually Lord Chaitanya's plan to, you know, because he's encouraging demoniac to become even more demoniac so that they would be finished sooner, you know, destroy themselves with excessive sense gratification and their degradation. At the same time, you can see rapid religious fanaticism and religious terrorism, which was not happening just a few decades back, but now it's like so many people die and the whole world is in fear, you know. What will happen, you know, that we can be blown up at any time by some crazy guy in the name of God. And then you can see that fear is really shaping this world at the moment. That Brexit actually happened because of fear of terrorist attacks. Trump was elected primarily because he promised to kind of sort out the terrorism problems, right? So everyone's really afraid. And it's interesting, one devotee, one Prabhupada disciple, sent me an article which was connected to one terrorist attack which happened in Manchester, UK, at one pop concert. and this popular singer, she was very attractive to the youth, so all the teenagers were going to her concert. And her concert was called Dangerous Woman. And then in there, one terrorist blew himself up, and so many teenagers were killed and injured. And the article was named Dangerous Woman Comes Across Dangerous Man, like that. And the reporter was saying that our British, you know, kind of mentality is keep calm and carry on, right? Stiff up the lip. Pretend that nothing happens. But he said, we cannot do that. That terrorism actually shapes the world. And he said, after this terrorist attack at the concert, how many parents would let their children to go to another concert like that? And then he referred to Orlando terrorist attack in gay bar when that ex-veteran killed 60 or something, 50-something gays in the bar, and there were like 200, over 200 injured. And he said after this terrorist attack, not only that particular gay bar was shut down for good, even the gay bars across the Europe were shutting down, you know, because gays are very kind of interested to promote themselves and make themselves, you know, the center of attention, attract attention to themselves. But then they've realized they've attracted wrong attention. So better, you know, like keep quiet, keep below the radar. And so it's all governed by fear. And we can see, practically speaking, what's happening in the world, that this fear is killing people's attachment to sense gratification. You know, going to the concerts, going to gay bars and all. And it's interesting that terrorists primarily attack the places where people enjoy. And so people are afraid of enjoying. And so then, of course, so many people are looking for alternatives because of that fear, because they're realizing, okay, that all these things, they just destroy our lives. And so it's actually Lord Chaitanya's plan that, you know, materialistic people will kill themselves and religious fanatics will kill those who haven't managed to kill themselves yet. And so the rest of the world will think, okay, we have to look for some healthy alternative to what's going on. And so, actually, yeah, fear, this kind of global fear, is creating opportunity for everyone's spiritual advancement. Problems are so acute that there is no other solution but to look at spiritual life. And so it's an excellent opportunity for all of us to provide spiritual solutions to all material problems. Because people are looking for this so badly. So, yeah, that's the plan. We'll continue reading. The Lord thus informed Yogamaya, under the imprisonment of Kamsa are Devaki and Vasudeva, and at the present moment, my planned expansion, Shesha, is within the womb of Devaki. You can arrange the transfer of Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. After this arrangement, I am personally going to appear in the womb of Devaki with my full potencies. Then I shall appear as the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. And you shall appear as the daughter of Nanda and Yashoda in Vrindavan. Since you will appear as my contemporary sister, people within the world will worship you with all kinds of valuable presentations, incense, candles, flowers, and offerings of sacrifice. You shall quickly satisfy their desires for sense gratification. people who are after materialistic affection will worship you under the different forms of your expansions, which will be named Durga, Bhadra Kali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharada, and Ambika. Krishna and Yogamaya appeared as brother and sister, the supreme powerful and the supreme power. Although there is no clear distinction between the powerful and the power, power is always subordinate to the powerful. Those who are materialistic are worshippers of the power, but those who are transcendentalists are worshippers of the powerful. Krishna is the supreme powerful and Durga is the supreme power within the material world. Actually, people in the Vedic culture worship both the powerful and the power, as we do here in New Dwaraka. We worship Subhadra also. Some people of Indian descent, they are asking, you know, what about worshipping Mother Durga? We can say, fine, come to New Dwaraka. Mother Durga is right there on the altar, worshipped every day. As Subhadra. She is the same personality. But they worship her as Yogamaya, but here she appears as... they worship her as Mahamaya, but here she appears as Yogamaya. There are many hundreds or thousands of temples of Vishnu and Devi, and sometimes they are worshipped simultaneously. The worshipper of the power Durga or the external energy of Krishna may achieve all kinds of material success very easily, but anyone who wants to be elevated transcendentally must engage in worshipping the powerful in Krishna consciousness. So there is no loss or diminution in this endeavor. So if you worship Jagannath, Bahadev and Subhadra, you can get everything. You can get all material and spiritual blessings, full package. No shortage. So this is the advantage we have. The Lord also declared to Yogamaya that his planetary expansion, Anantashesha, was within the womb of Devaki. On account of being forcibly attracted to the womb of Rohini, he would be known as Sankarshan and would be the source of all spiritual power or bala, by which one could be able to attain the highest bliss of life, which is called Ramana. Therefore, the plenary portion, Anantadev, Ananta, would be known after his appearance either as Sankarshan or Balaram. In the Upanishads, it's stated, Nayamatma Bala Hinena Labhya. The purport is that one cannot attain the Supreme or any form of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength, which is infused by Balaram or Sankarshan. Ananta or Shesha is the power which sustains all the planets in their different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation, but actually is the display of the potency of Sankarshan. Balaram or Sankarshan is spiritual power or the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also the incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is the representative of Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who supplies spiritual strength. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is confirmed that the spiritual master is the manifestation of the mercy of Krishna. When Yogamaya was thus ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she circumambulated the Lord and then appeared within this material world according to his order. When the Supreme Powerful Personality of Godhead transferred Lord Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, both of them were under the spell of Yogamaya, which is also called Yoga Nidra. When this was done, people understood that Devaki's seventh pregnancy was a miscarriage. Thus, although Balaram appeared as the son of Devaki, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini to appear as her son. After this arrangement, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is always ready to place his full potencies in his unalloyed devotees, entered as the Lord of the whole creation, but in the mind of Vasudeva. It's understood in this connection that Lord Krishna first of all situated himself in the unalloyed heart of Devaki. He was not put into the womb of Devaki by seminal discharge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable potency, can appear in any way. It's not necessary for him to appear in the ordinary way by seminal injection within the womb of a woman. When Vasudeva was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun, whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord, situated in the pure, unalloyed heart of Vasudeva, is not different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere, and specifically within the heart, is called Dhamma. Dhamma does not only refer to Krishna's form, but his name, his form, his quality, and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. So, the devotee who is carrying the Supreme Lord in his heart is also Dhamma. Or Tirtha, that's another name. And in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Yudhishthir is glorifying Vidura. He says, Bhava Didha Bhagavata Tirtha Bhuta Svayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Gantasthana Gadabrita. He says, devotees as your good self are so great that they are moving places of pilgrimage. Normally people go to places of pilgrimage, but pure devotees are themselves places of pilgrimage. Tirtha Bhuta. And why? Because Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Gantasthana Gadabrita, because devotees, wherever they go, they carry the Supreme Lord in their own hearts. So this is the description of Vasudeva is given here, and of course we can easily draw parallels with Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada carried the Lord within his heart, and so from his heart the Lord emanated everywhere Srila Prabhupada went, right? In here, in New Dwaraka, and in so many other places, so many forms of the Lord were installed. They actually came from Srila Prabhupada's heart and manifested themselves in visible form. And wherever Srila Prabhupada was going, he was creating places of pilgrimage, like New Dwaraka is the place of pilgrimage. It's not part of Los Angeles, it's part of the spiritual realm. And so we are very fortunate to be in a holy place in the middle of material world. And of course, many witnesses, eyewitnesses are describing Srila Prabhupada's glowing effulgence. Yeah, this is the result of carrying the Supreme Lord in the heart. Thus the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full potencies was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki, exactly as the setting sun rays are transferred to the full moon rising in the east. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entered the body of Devaki from the body of Vasudeva. He was beyond the conditions of the ordinary living entity. When Krishna is there, it's to be understood that all his plenary expansions, such as Narayan and incarnations like Lord Narsingha, Varaha, etc., are with him, and they are not subject to the conditions of material existence. In this way, Devaki became the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second and the cause of all creation. Devaki became the residence of the Absolute Truth, but because she was within the house of Kamsa, she looked just like a suppressed fire or like misused education. When fire is covered by the walls of a pot or is kept in a jug, the illuminating rays of the fire cannot be very much appreciated. Similarly, misused knowledge, which does not benefit the people in general, is not very much appreciated. So Devaki was kept within the prison walls of Kamsa's palace, and no one could see her transcendental beauty. which resulted from her conceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And actually, it's very interesting, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Devaki was suppressed because she was in the prison of Kamsa, and even though she carried the Supreme Lord, hardly anyone could appreciate her beauty. And he says, in the same way, in India, Kamsa-like politicians started suppressing Krishna consciousness to such an extent that no one could actually benefit from Krishna consciousness. But now, once he went out, he said, we've tried to present Krishna consciousness to the Western world and make people benefit from that. And India also subsequently benefited from it. And so I'm thinking that this is one of my biggest frustrations. Because I have the opportunity to travel to so many countries and see so many temples and so many devotees. And in this movement, we have amazing personalities. You know, we have so many wonderful devotees. And it's just unfortunate that the world cannot benefit much from their service because Krishna consciousness is not very much appreciated. And so if we could do something to change that equation and help the world appreciate Krishna consciousness and help people to understand the real value of the devotees, we could easily change the world. If we facilitate those devotees in their services to Krishna. Because, we have so many wonderful devotees with huge, huge potential. And so, as it says that never miss a good chance to shut up, so I'll do that. And if any devotees have any comments, questions, suggestions, complaints on the subject. Yes, Sachetanay Prabhu, microphone. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. In that example that was given in the purport about Mother Devaki, that she was incarcerated, so she was not being able to flourish. Because she was like, what was the word used?
Suppressed.
Suppressed.
Yes.
So, and you just mentioned also that in your traveling, you see many wonderful devotees with good qualities. And is that also like being suppressed? Can be used that like suppressed? Or is just because the lack of knowledge of the government or the people there, they don't appreciate the value of our...
Yes, because devotees and Krishna consciousness subsequently is not very well understood and appreciated by the outside world and by the public. You know, devotees are not highly appreciated and valued, and that's why they cannot really open up and give what they could give. Because it always requires suitable atmosphere, suitable soil, you know, if you want to place a seed and have a good harvest, it requires good soil. And so the public, you know, mood, mentality is the soil. And so, all of us know that by experience. Once you are in favorable situations, when people are really eager to get Krishna consciousness and they appreciate you, you know, automatically you open up. But if that circumstance is not there, it's really hard, right? To break the ice, so to say.
Can we also say that, use the word that it's another kind of violence? When someone is violent, I can't pronounce it. Violence?
Violence.
No, violence. How do you say violencia? Violence. violence.
Violence.
When there is someone so valuable, and the government doesn't acknowledge that, or a leader doesn't acknowledge that person, it keeps them suppressed.
Yeah.
Because of fear of like being, how you say, like someone there is very intelligent. Like in the times of war, when some countries, they suppress all the poets, the writers, the intellectuals in that way, you know, keep them away, otherwise they will expose me.
Yeah. Thank you. Archita Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice presentation.
Thank you.
That's why we see that Prabhupada's formula is so brilliant. I've told the story before, but in 96 I was in Zurich with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And after some time, we traveled around together, and after some time we had to part. He was going to Geneva to meet somebody at the UN. So he said this guy that he was going to meet was the International Labor Relations Director for the UN. And he said this guy really liked the Hare Krishna movement. He loved us. That's why he was going to meet with him. But the guy said, I couldn't figure out for a long time why all my other colleagues don't like the Hare Krishna movement.
Mm.
He said, and I was meditating on it. He said, finally it dawned on me. You guys are against meat eating. That's big business.
Mm.
You're against intoxication. That's big business. You're against gambling. That's bigger business. And you're against illicit sex, which is probably the biggest business in the world.
Mm.
He said, that's why people don't like you. And therefore, Prabhupada's method of convincing the individuals on the street that these things are not only good but necessary for healthy life, that's how you take over. You can't just meet one leader and convince him that Krishna consciousness. And what is he going to do? Even if he becomes president of the United States, the rest of the Congress will shut him down.
Mm.
So it's not about convincing just one leader here and there. It's about convincing the men on the street. And that's why Harinam is important. Book distribution like Sachin Senoy going out every day for decades. That's what wins the war. Mm-hmm. Not convincing one leader or allowing one person to, that doesn't do it. Grassroots spreading of Krishna consciousness is the formula. And that's what, and then people come. Just like we see every day, I get pictures from, Yuga Dharma and other devotees who are distributing books. One really nice incident recently. Not nice, for the person, but from our perspective. Young lady, she had a daughter of about 3 or 4 and another one in arms, baby in arms. The husband just came home and decided, I don't want to be with you anymore, divorced her. She was devastated, walking around. Came across the Harinam party, bought the Saptarishi set of books. And then she said, now I feel encouraged. Now I have some idea of what my life is meant for. That's how we conquer.
Thank you. Yes, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would say, it's important to preach to the mass, but it's also important to preach to the class. So both are important. Thank you. Naikatma Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Just in comment to Sachit Tanoy's comment in question, it seems that it's a combination of things that here in this case we're reading how Devaki's effulgence or her person was suppressed, her magnificence. But it seems also that in the present society, people are not only suppressed, but they're oppressed.
Mm.
They've degressed, and they're totally depressed.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of things.
Oh, yeah.
All of the above.
Yeah, situation is so bad that the only recourse for people is Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, they don't know about it. So we need to do something to make them aware. And actually, favorable cultivation of the leaders is really important. I think we've mentioned that one devotee in Italy, very old devotee, and he's really focusing on government relations, as well as interfaith. And so he cultivated minister of home affairs of Italy. And then he saw Harinam party, and he actually made a short video of it and put that clip on his Facebook. And behind the screen he's saying, these are the best people in the world, these are Hare Krishnas, and if I would have to take birth again, I want to be a Hare Krishna. And that single clip was watched in few days more than half a million, by more than half a million people. And so probably now it's like few millions of people. So just imagine, you know, that everyone who supports him now is thinking favorably of the devotees. Swavas Prabhu. Jai.
You know, on this same path, I just received an email message from Buddha Narayan Swami, I think it was yesterday, and he gave some statistics about people living in the world from the age of 18 to 28, and it says 30% of those individuals, which probably could go into the millions, say they have no friends, and that they're depressed, and they don't know how to go out into society. And he said that in the UK, they've now developed a department called the loneliness.
Wow.
Yes. People are so lonely, so depressed. They don't know how to make friends. They say they don't even have a good friend. They don't even have a dear person they can call friend. And how sad that is. So I was thinking when I was reading that how smart Srila Prabhupada was, that he created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And you feel always that you have friends in this movement. Mm. I can be here in L.A. If I know I'm going to Germany,
sure,
I'll know I'll have some friends there. If I go to India, I know I'll have some friends there. Yeah. I can go anywhere in the whole world, and I'll know I'll have a friend. That does help. But the point I'm making is that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is one of the best things that you can have or you can do in this life right now, because you have friends everywhere in the world. And how unique that is, that 30% of the generation coming up, next generation, have no friends.
Mm, amazing.
They're lonely.
Yeah, and it's true. And it doesn't, you don't have to be temple president. When I was traveling as brahmachari, you know, I was so welcomed anywhere. You know, you come to the new place, you never been there, you don't know anyone there, but because you tell people Hare Krishna, immediately they treat you as if they knew you for life. It's amazing. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you all very much. Krishna Book Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.